What's up, y'all? My name's Alan Sheriff, aka Alwin, the Sheriff of all things innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that I'm making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Quick updates, make sure you go to alwinthesheriff.com and check out some of my Apex merch, and also don't forget to check out some of those donation links. Remember that 50% of every single thing that I make goes to science, technology, and climate change initiatives. So remember, help you, help me, make the world a better place. Let's get into it. The first subject is science. So I read an article from Futurism, and it talks about a startup that's planning on working on pig to human organ transplants this year. Wow. Now that is scary. But let's get into it. Basically, this article talks about a company based in Maryland called United Therapeutics. Go Maryland. This is the state I'm in right now. Woo! I'm special. It's like, nah, I hate this state. No, I'm just playing. I love the state. I hate it. I love it. So a company based in Maryland called United Therapeutics is working on putting pig organs in human beings this year. Now, pigs basically have organs that are similar to our own, making them easier to work with and easier to genetically modify. This article points out that the company's goal is to offset some of the demand for life-saving organ transplants. It also talks about how the human body naturally rejects pig transplants, which is exactly why genetic modification is needed, and that although they have a genetically modified pig ready for upcoming use in human trials, many questions about the use of the pig organs remain. So that basically just summarizes what they're talking about in this article. Just my thoughts right off the bat, are you going to become a superhero once they put these pig organs in your body? Like, just imagine, like, what the first human trial is going to be like, right? For the person who's going to get the organ transplant. Like, I mean, just imagine, like, once, like, imagine that they get the heart of a pig, right? And then the next day they just wake up. And then, well, I don't know if, like, pigs have, like, natural strength. So I don't know if strength is going to be, like, one of the perks that you get once you get the heart of a pig. But, like, it'll be just like one of those superhero changing scenes. You know what I mean? Where someone wakes up in the morning just like Spider-Man and they realize, like, yo, I have, like, enhanced pig strength or something like that. Or, I don't know, man. If pigs don't have, like, natural strength, man, I don't know. Maybe someone will have the individual to be able to eat poop all day and just wallow in the mud. Like, I don't even know if that's a superpower. Like, oh, it's a superpower because my body can handle it. Like, I can digest all this stuff and, you know, nobody can tell me what I can and can't eat. You know what I don't know. I crack myself up. But nah, like, I think that, that was just like the first thing off the top of my head. Every time I think about two different animals sharing, like, you know, whatever it is that it may be, like, whether it's like organs or, you know, like, I don't know, whatever it is. The first thing that always funnily comes to my head is, okay, what are the powers that I'm going to be getting? We can all thank Spider-Man for this. Like, my mind just keeps going back to the scene of that spider that bites him. But no, like, all jokes aside, I think that this is, I do have a few concerns because I do think that some people wouldn't feel comfortable at first, like, getting this transplant because, you know, what's going through that person's mind is, you know, why would, like, I'm not sure if getting the heart or any other organ from a pig is safe and have it put into my body. I mean, the article points out how the human body will naturally reject these organs at first. So I have some concerns. Yes, it's new. It's different. It's, you know, it's all part of science. I think that that is interesting enough. I feel like whatever we're doing in order to help, and as the company already stated, it's its goal to help offset some of the demand for life-saving organs. So I can imagine that this is what, you know, most people in situations would look at, you know. But yeah, my time is up on speaking on this. I just think that, you know, for people who are in need of an organ transplant, you know, as soon as possible, something like this could be really helpful. So yeah, let's continue looking into it and seeing if we can make investments in this area. So I also read another article. This is the next subject, technology. I read an article from TechCrunch. I said Crunch. TechCrunch. It's one of my favorite websites. and a nonprofit company called OpenAI, which is developing an artificial intelligence called DALL-E. Kind of rhymes with WALL-E. You can imagine where the name came from. WALL-E. Like, anyway, it's developing an artificial intelligence called DALL-E. And this AI can generate images very impressively based off of any description that you can provide it. So for example, this AI is so sophisticated, so powerful that if you feed it a description, if you say something along the lines of dog on top of ball, it'll literally give you like that image, like, but in many different ways. Like the images will vary like across the spectrum, and it can automatically generate like various types of images for you. And it's a real powerful artificial intelligence, because this is the first time like in a long while that they were actually able to down to the last detail manipulate these images based off of our language. So this article points out that, you know, they're not sure what this technology could be used for in the future, but they'll continue to analyze how models like DALL-E relate to societal issues like economic impact on certain work processes and professions, the potential for bias and the model outputs, and the longer term ethical challenges implied by this technology. They found some negative sentiment and algorithmic bias recognized in this AI's neural network, but they're going to continue working on that because we definitely don't want any of that bias in there. I mean, we got too much going on. And you know, I'm pretty sure that the researchers don't want to get, you know, canceled for this stuff. So what am I saying? But anyway, the fact of the matter is they're working on it. And they definitely don't want to end up in that area. So my thoughts, yeah, I think that this image is very powerful. I mean, heck, if you ask me what this could be used for off the bat, I mean, heck, man, like you look at, you know, various companies or individuals out there, you know, who may be willing to use this artificial intelligence in order to generate ideas, you know, for their brands, you know, whether they're looking for a new logo design or, you know, they're looking for, and again, I'm not sure if I mentioned this already, this AI is very powerful because it's able to generate original images. It's able to take the text and image-based data that it's provided, and it can generate its own images just based off of what you can provide it. And it'll provide multiple different types. Like it's all over the place. Like I've seen some of the examples online, and I thought it was really cool and interesting. The only thing I'm concerned about is what, you know, a lot of the people who tend to Photoshop images, I wonder if they'll like abuse this. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if like they're gonna like generate images that are completely false and unfounded and just put them online. And that was some of the concerns that the article also pointed out, was that this artificial intelligence could be used to generate fake news and other, you know, fake images and stuff like that. So my only concern is people who thinking that, you know, they wanna make their friends jealous that they probably met a celebrity in real life, they'll probably ask this AI to generate an image of them having, you know, took a picture with Beyonce at a concert or something. I don't know. Or just like generate an image of them driving down the street in a car with Dua Lipa. Like, I don't know. It's like, see, I told you I met this celebrity, but you didn't listen to me. You didn't believe me. And now I'm out here. This is what I do. I live this life. Like, I don't know if there are going to be people out here living false, you know, lifestyles. Like, it's just, we got to be careful with this artificial intelligence. Anyway, my time ran out on this. Let's go to the next subject. Like, it's an interesting name, though, DALL-E. All right, the last subject is science. I mean, the last subject is psychology. And I read an article from spring.org, and it talks about the biggest myth about coping with mental illness. It's this common belief. The myth is that there's this common belief that people in mental distress fail to use healthy coping strategies. This is something this is an article that I really found myself enjoying. And you'll see as I continue to read more about it. Now, these individuals are seen as weak, and that many people experiencing mental health problems are resilient and are already using many health strategies like distraction and meditation to help ease their stress. However, levels of distress for individuals can be too great, which is the point, is that You know, people's stress levels may vary. Everybody thinks that, you know, human beings are, you know, yes, it's true that we're all the same, but at the same time, you can't, you have to be able to recognize that some people may be more prone or more easily susceptible to more susceptible to stress, you know, and that, you know, stress levels can vary from individual to individual. And so mental health services shouldn't focus on fixing the person. They should focus on finding different ways in which to help these individuals reduce their stress. And that the author of this study, Helen Stallman, who's also a professor, says they should use the care, collaborate, and connect technique. Care, as in listen to the individual and figure out what's going on in their life. Collaborate, which is next, which is ask what they're currently doing in order to help reduce their stress levels. And connect, refer them to a professional individual if these none of these methods are working. Now, yeah, again, like I agree. Like, I mean, I don't have too much time to speak on this, but again, like I agree. I think that articles like these are really important, being able to help, you know, distinguish between, you know, people who may potentially be a lot more stressed than other people who have a lot more anxiety. You know, they're even like me for a while, like I even felt like, you know, I know it's strange and it differs from person to person. But for me, like I've always felt like I've always been kind of, you know, while I've been stressed in the past, I've always felt like, oh, you know, I was so much more different in my mind because, oh, my anxiety is a lot more different than other people's. Like it like if something's bothering me, it can bother me for a really long period of time. It's not easy for me to be able to get over things. Like I don't have the mental strength, the endurance. And it's a combination of me having told myself this time after time after time again. And I think it's really important for people to, you know, figure out, you know, where their stress is coming from and what they can do to help relieve that stress. You know, I've done many things, you know, from meditation to, you know, taking, you know, ashwagandha pills and stuff like that and going on my morning walks. And I felt like that was too much for me. So what I realized is that I had to find different ways in order to help reduce my stress, because doing that was also taking away my time within my day to get things done and be more active in my work, you know, like creating these podcasts. And that's what makes people hate these motivational videos out here, bruh. I'm talking to you, E.T. Eric Thomas. I used to watch you every single morning. You drive me nuts, man. You can do it. Put your mind to it. You have time. You have time. Anybody who knows Eric Thomas knows what I'm talking about, bruh. But yeah, man, that's the end of the podcast, bro. I didn't have too much time to speak on that. But look, concluding thoughts, bro. Make sure you stop eating pork as much as possible, because obviously pigs are our friends now. We have to be able to use their organs for our benefit. I know that sounds messed up, in which case they shouldn't even be considered our friends. But like, I'm such an idiot. they're our friends in some way, you know, just up until a certain point. Yeah, it's a very messed up relationship. But anyway, thanks for tuning into the podcast, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And if you're watching this podcast on any of my podcast hosting sites, make sure that you like. Well, no, there is no like function. But make sure that you follow and subscribe. And don't forget to go to alanthesheriff.com and check out some of my Apex merch and make sure you go to alanthesheriff.com, check out some of my Apex merch, and hit some of those donation links. Bye! Ah!